Good morning. This is State Government Finance Committee meeting for Tuesday, February 8th, and we'll call the meeting to order. We have a quorum, and we have a set of minutes from our meeting last Thursday. Would someone move those minutes? Representative Green moves those minutes. Any additions or corrections? If not, all in favor of the motion to approve the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The minutes are approved. We want to welcome Representative Pepin. The first bill up today is House File 173. And I will move House File 173. Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I have a technical oral amendment that Mr. Shepard recommended to me that I'd like to address first, if that would
okay.
be possible.
Let's do that.
It's on page 3, line 19. Mr. Shepard suggested that I change odd-numbered to even-numbered, and that's just so the reports would be due September 1st for 2014 for agencies scheduled to expire the following June. It's a timing issue.
So you're just changing the word odd on 319 to even?
Correct.
Mr. Shepard, any comment? Okay, I will move that oral amendment on line 319. Delete the word odd and put in its place the word even. All in favor of that amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The bill is amended. Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The last few years, as many of you know, we've talked a lot about efficiency in government, innovation, government redesign, and obviously with the budget situation the way it is today, we have no choice but to continue these discussions and to move forward with some suggestions and ideas for change. My concern is that we have no mechanism in place currently to create innovation, ensure government efficiency, or do away with duplicative government functions. That's why I've introduced the Minnesota Sunset Commission. I have three main goals with this commission. The first goal is to eliminate inefficiency, duplication, and waste. The Sunset Commission will review the continued need for and effectiveness of agencies, boards, commissions, and programs, look for potential duplication with other public services or programs, consider new and innovative changes to improve each agency's operations and activities, propose the closure, consolidation, or continuation of an agency, board, commission, or program. Second goal, reforming government, reducing costs. The Sunset Commission will serve as a mechanism to review and retire unnecessary or duplicative government operations, and will serve as a tool to rein in government growth and cost and to free our taxpayers, job providers, and families from the burdens of unnecessary government. Third goal is that we focus on core functions. The Sunset Commission will ensure agencies and programs do not outlive their need and their usefulness. This bill is based loosely on the Texas Sunset Commission, which was started in about 30 years ago. I think it was 1978. Since that time, it's saved the taxpayers nearly $1 billion by closing 58 agencies and consolidating an additional 12. I would like to, I think, walk through the main portions of the bill, if you have a copy of it. I'm actually working from the DE1 amendment. I don't have the redraft of it, but I think it'll still line up. I'd like to just point out Section 3, the membership. The membership of this bill would be made up of 12 members, 4 appointed by the governor, 2 members appointed by the Speaker of the House, 2 members by the Minority Leader of the House, 2 members by the Majority Leader in the Senate, and 2 members of the Minority Leader in the Senate. The idea behind that is to have kind of an off-campus umbrella of people looking at this with some business experience, perhaps, that would be removed from the legislative process and could really look at this with fresh eyes. I'd like to next direct you to section 4.
Say, Representative Pepin, we want a clarification here. You indicated the DE-1, and really I think that should be the first engrossment, the bill that came out of your committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same in the House file. I just have it highlighted in the DE-1.
Yeah, I just wanted members to be sure that they're looking at the right version.
It should be correct.
We are looking at the first engrossment of House File 173. Thank you.
Okay, then Section 4 on the correct version would be starting with line 3.9. The commission would employ an executive director, may employ an executive director, to act as the executive head of the commission. The commission is in the legislative branch. Upon request of the commission, the Legislative Coordinating Commission shall provide administrative support. Moving on to Section 6, how this would work, or the agency report to the commission. So before September 1st of the odd number year, before the year in which a state agency is subject to sunset review, the agency commissioner shall report to the commission information regarding the application to the agency of the criteria, a priority-based budget for the agency, an inventory of all boards, commissions, committees, and other entities related to the agency. Section 7 talks about commission duties. Before January 1st of the year in which an agency is subject to sunset review, the commission would review and take action necessary to verify the report submitted by the agency, conduct a review of the agency based on the criteria provided, and prepare a written report and review the implementation of commission recommendations contained in the report presented to the legislature during the preceding legislative session and the resulting legislation. Section 9 talks about the commission report. By February 1st of each odd number year, the commission shall present to the legislature and the governor a report on the agencies and advisory committees reviewed. We'll report its findings regarding the criteria, its recommendations, and other information as necessary. Some of the criteria in Section 10, I'll just point out a couple. The efficiency and effectiveness with which the agency or the advisory committee operates, an identification of the mission goals and objectives intended for the agency or advisory committee, and then there's several more which you can review. I want to next address Section 11, recommendations. The recommendations, they'd make recommendations on the abolition, continuation, or reorganization of each affected state agency and its advisory committees, and on the need for the performance of the functions of the agency and its advisory committees. Would make recommendations on the consolidation, transfer, or reorganization of programs within state agencies. It would also make recommendations to improve the operations of the agencies and include the estimated fiscal impact of its recommendations. Special note on C, the commission must work with the revisor of statutes and other legislative staff to prepare and submit draft legislation to the appropriate chairs and lead minority members of legislative committees to carry out the commission's recommendations. So we would actually have to move forward on that. I just want to point out, actually I don't know where it is on the new part, but I just want to point out that any money that would be saved would be transferred to the general fund. And then I want to draw your attention to the expiration and sunset review of Section 20. The following agencies will expire. And yes, that is written correctly how I intended it to be. And then you see a list of groups of which the Sunset Commission would review. And the idea behind this is that the agencies would expire unless we took action. And obviously, in most cases, we would take action positive to continue the functions of the agencies, boards, and whatnot. But this would require us to actually look at what we've created and to make sure that we're doing what we should be doing and not duplicating and, otherwise wasting government services. And then finally, the last section I want to talk about is the appropriation. Instead of, asking for a fiscal note, which was put together, I see, but my thought was that, instead of asking how much it would take to do this, instead to put a number out there and to just make it happen. The number I chose was $100,000 for the first year and $100,000 for the second year of the biennium. And I believe that would allow the commission to get started. It would allow the commission to come together, perhaps hire an executive director, and then we'd have kind of the bones of moving this commission forward. Now, the Texas Sunset Commission, I will tell you, is quite a bit larger, has quite a few staff members, and perhaps we would be able to get there eventually. Now, I know that there, obviously, we have a budget shortfall and there is a cost to this, but the idea behind this is it's a commission to do away with other commissions, agencies, boards, programs that have outlived their usefulness or no longer are meeting their mission or goals, or perhaps because of technology can get the functions done in a different or better way or a different agency or board. And so that's really the gist of the bill. And at this time, I'd be happy to take any questions you might have.
Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Pevin, I was kind of intrigued by this, but I don't know anything about Texas commissions, but I know that over the years we've had many commissions mm-hmm. here. Do you have one that you're modeling this after? A successful one that you're modeling this one after? And is it part of the LCC?
Representative Pepin?
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, I don't have one that I'm modeling it after in Minnesota, because I don't believe in Minnesota we've ever had any type of commission in place that makes us proactively take action on these things. I know there have been different redesign and things like that in the past, but I don't believe any of those have ever required us to would actively sunset the agency and require us to take action to not sunset the agency or the functions. And so that's why I've modeled it more on the Texas model that I think has been very successful. Now, there are some differences, obviously, the staff size, and they do, I will tell you that they do have legislators on their commission. For various reasons, I think that wouldn't work as well here, although Representative Banyan in his bill that you'll see next, which is very similar to mine, he takes a little bit different approach and does have legislators on this commission. I don't know if that answers your question or not, but...
Well, gives
Representative
me a little,
Murphy.
Mr. Chair, and Representative Pepin gives me a little more background, and certainly you've been on state departments for several years, right? Or several sessions. On state departments,
what do you mean?
On this committee,
yes.
And Representative Kahn's committee mm-hmm. previously. And so you have more experience than I do, but it seems to me that can you address how this commission would be different than the committee that is established for legislative purposes? Isn't this the legislature's as a whole job rather than a commission's job to evaluate the worth of government structure?
Representative Pepin.
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, I think that it would be wonderful if we could get it done, but the way I'm looking at it is I think with all the work that we have and the responsibilities that we have, it would be fairly difficult for us to look at the whole state government function that we have and to make effective changes. And I think also it would be very difficult for legislators who have connections to people who work for the agencies and boards and commissions or have certain feelings because they've maybe passed legislation to, you know, fund some of these programs. I think my idea is that I'd like to have an independent body that's not so connected to the process. And, you know, I mean, I think there's certainly that argument that we should be doing that. I think because of time constraints and because of just being, I guess, in the fishbowl, it's very difficult for legislators to do that, at least without a different committee or something that does that. And my thought, and again, Representative Banyan has a little bit different thought on this. I feel like we can. It'll be easier for us to do this if we have an independent group of people who do have this financial, background to be able to make some really unbiased decisions in recommendations on these agencies and functions, because right now they're really, my concern is there just really isn't a mechanism, because we have the Department of Health, we have the Department of Human Services, we have a number of different licensing mm-hmm. boards, and while all the employees and all these different groups might be doing a fabulous job, are there, how do we know that there's not repeats? How do we know that there's not duplication and waste? I mean, maybe the Sunset Commission will look at these agencies and boards and commissions and say, nope, we need them all, they're all doing a great job. But what if they look at them and they find out that there's duplication and there's different agencies or boards that are doing the exact same thing, or that it would be more effective because of technology and or whatever, that now they've perhaps outlived their usefulness and it's time to consolidate into a different agency or whatever.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pappin, Section 20, I'm particularly concerned about, because those are reasons why I joined this committee, why I signed up for this committee, because most of them were in accounts in my committee last year, and I didn't want to let them go because I discovered what good jobs they were doing, and I especially with the four councils, I would just be on guard that if they are no longer in existence, if they have expired, I worry that we might be just, they would not be seen anymore at all, and I think that would be a danger. But Mr. Chair, I see Representative Pepin's bill here and Representative Banyan's bill to come. Is Representative Downey's bill that was going to be consolidating many agencies into 8, I think it was, that I saw, is that going to be heard later then?
Representative Murphy, we're going to be hearing one of Representative Downey's bills on Thursday. It's not the one that you're referencing. The one you're referencing is a bill that I don't think has a number yet, does it, Representative Downey? And so at this point, it hasn't been officially introduced. There isn't a number. We don't know what committees it might be referred to at this point.
I see.
But it potentially could end up finding its way here at some time.
Representative Pepin, it seems like you have competition. Are we going to be voting on these in particular, or are we going to be holding them over for further consideration, Mr. Chair?
Thank you, Representative Murphy. My intent is to lay this bill over for possible inclusion.
Okay, so we don't have to make the choice right now.
That would be my intent, to lay this bill over for possible inclusion in our omnibus bill.
Then I will read it over more carefully and prepare other questions and ask you at a later time. I think it's worth discussion.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Murphy. You bring up some great points, but I did want to comment on your comments about the different councils. And I just want to point out that I didn't pick out any particular agencies or commissions or boards that I want to close. This is a complete and exhaustive list. And the only thing that is different between them is the groups that they are listed in, because obviously the Sunset Commission is not going to be able to effectively look at every single agency in, you know, 1 year. So it's going to take some time. And everything expires unless the commission makes recommendations. So just because this is on the list, there's an equally good chance that they'll come back and say, you know, we need all of these councils. Maybe they'll have a recommendation that they could share a, you know, administrative support or share a facility or something. We don't know that they're going to recommend that they expire. And we don't have to necessarily do exactly what they say. But we will have to take action on everything. We will have to take action on any of the recommendations. So I don't know the answer to this, because there's no way I can look at these things from my vantage point, and I don't believe any of us really can look at these things from our vantage point and say, we should close this agency or this council. I mean, I have some feelings on, or some guesses on what I think, overlaps. But I think the more effective way to look at this is to have an actual commission that can really do a thorough investigation, and they can work with the Office of the Legislative Auditor too, which is another kind of aspect. They can, you know, they can use that group to help them with some of the audit functions. And so I think this has really come to where we really need to do something to make sure that we're not just putting more dollars into maybe boards that aren't needed anymore, have just outgrown their usefulness, or are being done somewhere else. We just really need a mechanism to be able to address those concerns, in my opinion.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, just one last question. What about this executive director of the commission that you're going to provide for? Is that part of the $100,000?
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy. The idea is that the commission would come together, would be named, and they could, if they so chose, hire an executive director. And my vision for that is that if this works the way it should, I think that the staff is going to have to grow, and we're going to have to make more of an investment. I believe that $100,000 or $200,000 over the biennium could get us a decent staff person. Keep in mind that this, the overlapping functions, would be office and LCC, so it'll be a function of the legislative branch, and so a lot of those costs would be taken care of. I think that we could find someone to come in and really get the administrative part of this commission off the ground, and it'll be their job to come up with some more ideas. This is just really the shell of it, and the commission will have to do work to, you know, to move it forward. So it's just a, I guess, kind of getting the bare bones, you know, here so that we can get a group in place that can figure out where to go from here.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Pepin. I think this is needed. It's a good bill to bring forward. One question that I think you have already addressed, but I just like a little clarification. I'll ask Representative Mannion later, or urge him to include why he thinks legislators should be on the commission. But would you be a little more precise, Representative Pepin, why you think legislators should not be on this?
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Erdahl. I think that Representative Mannion will probably tell you, and perhaps even some folks who are on the Texas Sunset Commission, because the Texas Sunset Commission is made up of 12 members, and I think 10 of them are legislative members. I think that that argument will be that there's legislative buy-in to this because you have people from both parties on this commission, and I think since that commission's been in place for so long and is so well respected and has done so many great things, I think that the argument there would be that there's legislative buy-off. The problem that I have with that, and I don't know how to say it, I guess, in precisely the terms you have. My concern is that we all have relationships with people that are on councils or agencies or boards, and I don't want those relationships to cloud what needs to be done. In other words, I think it's very hard for legislators or anybody really to be able to, I guess, clear their mind of their preconceived ideas or their experience that they've had on being here to be able to make decisions without having some bias in their mind. I think that if we had independent people come in, and keep in mind that it's actually right now it would favor Democrat appointments because the governor would have four and the rest of them would be split evenly between the parties. So I think that you'd have good representation from the parties, but you'd have people that came in that aren't as connected to what we do. And don't have those relationships. I don't know if that answers your question, but I'm concerned that, say, for example, I'm the one who started the commission on, you know, underwater basket weaving. Okay, and now I'm named to this commission, and we look at it and we find information that the commission, the board on underwater basket weaving isn't working properly, or has outlived its usefulness. How am I going to, as a legislator who's passed that legislation, going to feel about now not funding it anymore? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Or I hope I answered your question.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Pepin, can you tell me what the effective date of the bill is?
Representative Pepin.
Well, the effective date is, I guess you'd, it's listed in the schedule. The schedule is listed throughout, so it's the review will start on by January 2013. The first group of commissions will expire, so it will go into effect of, at an enactment, and then they will immediately start taking a look at the agencies.
So, Mr. Chair, the bill right now, if passed and signed by the governor, will go into effect immediately.
Yeah, I believe so. Is there an effective, a specific effective date, Mr. Shepard?
Hey, Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Shepard.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, Representative Pepin. There is no effective date specified, so as Representative Pepin indicated, the bill would then automatically, because it has an appropriation, take effect of July 1st this year. The members would initially be appointed by September 1st of this year, and the cycle would then start in preparation for the first group of agencies that are sunset on June 30th, 2013.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Pepin. It talks on page 2 about removal of members that have been appointed. Who does that as far as making, I mean, they've been appointed by the governor and they've been appointed by other individuals to be by the minority leader, majority leader, and the Senate minority leader. Who then, once those members have been put on the commission, makes the decision to remove them? Is it the executive director, if they so choose? Is he the one that's in charge of that, or who is the one that's going to make the decision to remove those members off the commission if, according to the guidelines, they're not meeting them?
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. I think this might be a question directed to Mr. Shepard because it says it's governed by Section 15.0575, and he's got the statute book, so perhaps he could read that.
Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and members, the removal would be by the appointing authority, so it would be the person that would be empowered to remove a particular member would depend on who appointed them. And as indicated on page 2 of the bill, and in the reference to Section 15.0575, a member could be removed only for cause after a hearing. So this wouldn't be a person that served at the pleasure of the appointing authority.
Representative Anderson?
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Simon?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Pepin, first of all, thanks for bringing the bill forward and adding to the discussion about sunsets. I think having that more, that discussion flourish is good, and I think that when it comes to statutes that we pass, laws that we pass, particularly those that regulate people or things or businesses, we ought to be looking more at sunsets and reauthorizing things after a period of time. Where I'm not quite sure yet how it will work is with state agencies as opposed to laws or regulations that we pass. So I guess my first question is, how do you envision if, for example, a particular board or commission or agency is deemed to have outlived its usefulness, what guarantee, if any, is there that all you'd really be doing is getting rid of the office and not the functions? Wouldn't, for example, especially when we're talking about the big agencies, human services, health, education, if theoretically they were sunset worthy, wouldn't a lot of those functions still continue to exist? They just go under some other group? I know not every agency is equal. Human services isn't the same as the department or the Commission on Underwater Basket Weaving, but along that continuum, how could you guarantee that we're not just shifting functions around to some other agency?
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Simon. I think you're right that, you know, obviously there's going to be functions that need to be addressed whether or not an agency were closed. So you might look at the Department of Human Services and maybe they've got 20 functions and maybe the commission says, okay, well, three of these functions have outgrown their usefulness, and the other 17 are still needed. But we found that they can be done in the Department of Health. And 12 of those remaining functions can be done there, and the other 5 can be done by the Department of Administration. They would work, as it's laid out in the bill, they would work with the revisor of statutes and the legislative staff to submit legislation to the appropriate chairs with their recommendations. So they would I mean, we could actively pass that saying, these 12 functions will go here, these 5 will go here, these 3 will be removed. So in practicality, I don't think that it would really be a situation where it would be, we recommend this thing just close. We recommend that we just end this board or commission. There might be for some of the smaller ones, but for the agencies in particular, it'd be hard to imagine that that we could completely do away with all the functions of the agency. So the idea would be they would make sure that they were handled in the most effective way and efficient way possible, but that might be in a different agency.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Pepin, you just touched on something that triggered another question, which is there a danger here that we're setting up an adversarial relationship in the sense that it's natural human behavior, an agency is going to want to, or a board or a commission is going to want to justify its own existence. Your bill calls for that agency or board or entity to supply certain information, criteria, data, etc. Don't you think there's going to be a natural tendency for any agency or board to argue that it's needed? I understand you'll want commissioners or members of this who are going to probe and scrutinize and all the rest, but what do you think, if any, is the danger of setting up this kind of adversarial system? Do you know what's happened in Texas? Has that been the case there or in other instances? I'm just thinking about how this will work in practicality. I can't imagine many agencies or boards saying that they're not essential.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Simon. I think you're right in that they could feel, sort of adversarial and that they, nobody wants their work questioned, but I think if this were up and running, I think it's a fair question to be asked if the functions that you're doing are still necessary if they've outlived their usefulness. I think it's a good for government and agencies and boards and whatnot to have to say, okay, well, I'm getting taxpayer money, and this is what I'm doing with it, and this is why it's necessary. So I think what will happen is that they will work the leaders of the commissioners or whatnot will work very hard internally in their own agency or board to make sure that they are efficient and, and they're doing the best they possibly can with taxpayer dollars. So whether or not they'll be, feeling heat a little bit, perhaps they will, but I think that's necessary. It shouldn't be the case where there's no, sort of review. And, I don't think that they should take it personally because we're, this is what we would be doing with everything. And I think that they would just have to understand that when we're talking about taxpayer dollars, there has to be accountability. And, most people are proud of the job they do and the work they do. And, I think that they'll be okay for the most part with this.
Representative Simon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one last question. Speaking of adversarial relationships, I just wanted to get your comment on what this might do to the balance of power between the legislative and executive branch. And to be fair to you, you've been totally consistent, and I applaud you for that. You were a champion of this, and you've carried this bill for many years when the political lineup was reversed, when there was a Republican governor and a DFL legislature. So not only am I not questioning your motives, I'm praising them because you've been totally intellectually consistent on this. But I just wonder, regardless of who's in power here, what political party and so forth, I wonder about the sunsetting of an agency as kind of what role that would play in a negotiation. I can see a situation and, let's fast forward 20 years from now, let's not use the present day actors or parties, where the legislature could hang over a governor's head, well, if you don't do this, we're going to sunset such and such agency, and then it becomes kind of an end of session bargaining chip. Can you address that issue? Does that concern you at all?
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Simon. Well, I mean, that's certainly a possibility. Now, I would hope that we all have the, and thank you for the kind words as well. I would hope that we would all be mature enough to put our partisan differences aside to not just willy-nilly say we're going to close this or that without a good reason behind it. And I think that what this would do is it would be very hard to use that, I guess, threat or power because you'd have an independent agency making the recommendation. If they came back and said, we need to close down this particular agency, you know, I guess to me that wouldn't be a threat to hold over any governor. That would be a recommendation that really needs to happen. And so I would hope that we would be smart enough not to just end needed functions in government just to play political games. I can't speak for legislatures down the road, what's going to happen there. But in my estimation, if this commission were to make a recommendation, we should honestly consider it no matter who's in the legislature and who's in the governor's office.
Representative Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Pepin, I'm a little confused here, so I need you to help me out. In my professional life, I used to apply for a license through the Department of Health, and then I would also apply for a license from the Board of Social Work. Those were consolidated, and now it's the Board of Behavioral Health and Therapy, and I apply for both my license at the same place. I believe that was an administrative decision, so why would we need a board or a commission to do this when we have an administrative function to look at government? It's called the governor in his executive branch. And then we as a legislature have government operations in this committee, which is part of our function to look at it. So why do we need another layer of government by a commission and $100,000 with an executive director probably making $80,000 plus? So,
Representative Pepin.
Mr. Chair and Representative Gauthier, I think that's a good question. I usually get the question of why are you creating more government when you're trying to end government? And I view this as a commission that would end other commissions and boards that have outgrown their usefulness. The problem as I see it is that I can't imagine any governor of either party coming into office and saying they're going to unilaterally cut this agency, that board. It wouldn't be very politically popular for them to do that. And it would be work against their own nature of wanting to have power. So it's a human nature type of question. So I don't think that that's really very plausible. And I also don't think that even if we were to have the governor do that, I don't think that the mechanism is in place to be able to thoroughly look at these things. You know, I mean, I guess the state government finance, committee could look at all the agencies' boards and whatnot, but I think there's already a lot of work that needs to be done in these committees. And again, unless this is going to take a lot of time and commitment. I mean, they're going to have to really, really work with these agencies and boards to look at what's going on. And you know, the agencies can do that within internally. The Department of Health can look at and they can have all the efficiencies in the world and they can be the most efficient agency in the world. But the problem is the Department of Health would be looking at the Department of Health and not the Department of Human Services and not the agency, the licensing boards. And so who's looking out for how these, you know, three different groups, for example, work together? Maybe employee A is, you know, doing a great job for this department, and employee B is doing a great job here, and employee C is doing a great job here. But if they're all working toward the same goal, you know, how do we know that that's what mechanism do we have to look to make sure that those three people aren't duplicating their services? They might each be very efficient inside their own unit, but there's no way to look to see if, as a big picture, if they're doing what they should be doing.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gauthier.
Somebody apparently did that with the Board of Health and Board of Social Work.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody apparently is doing that in government. Politically unpopular, I'm looking at a majority that's talking about cutting government every day. So that's why my party is now the minority party. So my other question is, why wouldn't we approach this as development of business plans versus and reviewing that way? Because my concern would be, like Representative Simon, all this time and energy is going to be spent on self-preservation. And I don't see that as real cost effective.
Representative Pepin.
Mr. Chair and Representative Gaithier. I think there's nothing that would preclude that from happening. I think that they should be giving recommendations, and hopefully that will be part of what they're doing. They will get the information, the feedback from the agencies. They'll perhaps work with a legislative auditor, come up with suggestions that will make the department work on their business plans, make them more effective models. So I don't think it necessarily has to be a negative. Just because they're not doing it perfectly doesn't mean that the commission's just going to say, well, you haven't done this in the most effective way, so therefore we're completely cutting you out of the picture. Perhaps they will make recommendations and say, you know, gosh, you're doing all these things really great, but a better business model might be to do this. So I don't think there's anything that would prevent that from happening. The idea is to make them more efficient, and so that certainly would be part of the equation. It's not just about what can we cut and what can we do away with. It's what can we do better? How can we make the whole state run more effectively and efficiently and, you know, make sure that the taxpayers in Minnesota know that we're doing the best we can and we are not duplicating, we're not creating more waste.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Representative Gauthier.
There's nothing in this bill that would prevent recommendations for expanding commissions or department roles, is there? So it's feasible they could recommend growth in government.
Representative Pepin?
Mr. Chair and Representative Gaithier, perhaps they could. I can't imagine that would happen, but I suppose that they could make those recommendations.
And then, Mr. Chair, just one other thing. In Section 20 of your bill, you list things out, and I'm curious as to what was the reasoning of the order or if there was any reasoning because I see grouped together minority councils, and I'm just wondering if it was just because they function as a group, or how you viewed that, and why are they first, and so on and so forth.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Gaithier. I've been asked that in other committees and from other members, and I'm not necessarily tied to the order of the review because everything will be reviewed in its time. You know, obviously the Department of Health and Department of Human Rights and Department of Human Services, you could argue, have the same type of constituencies, and so it makes sense that they would, along with the licensing boards, would be all looked at together as opposed to having a couple of them reviewed for 2013 and a couple more in 2017. It's not very comprehensive. I would say the same for the minority councils. It wouldn't make sense to have one reviewed this year and one reviewed 2 years from now and one reviewed. So they're as a group, they should be looked at. Similar things should be looked at in the same time frame for them to be able to make good recommendations. I'm not wed to the groupings. We could look at them, or flip them around. The Department of Health, Department of Human Rights, Department of Human Services. Obviously, that's a very large part of the state budget, and so my thought on that was, let's see if there are any efficiencies to be found there first, because we have potentially the biggest cost savings. The other stuff, we could certainly switch it with something else. It'd be difficult, I think, to do the Department of Health and those types of agencies with the Department of Education because they're both so big. But as for the particular grouping, that's certainly negotiable.
That makes sense to me. Thank you.
Representative Downey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of thoughts in response to some of the discussion, which I think has been really great. I'm thinking back to when the state hired an outside consultant to come in and do the drive to excellence analysis of all the state agencies and look for where there might be redundant functions and business processes and systems and things. And I think one of the limitations of what they could do on a kind of a contract basis is they really couldn't address policy per se. All they can do is assume the existing body of statute and look for ways to just operationalize things more effectively. And so I like the idea of this commission in that it would have a broader purview than just, gee, how do we perform this function better, or how do we consolidate these two licensing functions that are very similar. And in these big agencies, things just get institutionalized, and I think a periodic scan where the agency does some self-reflection is a good and a positive thing. And I know a couple times in committee I've asked testifiers, what are you doing that you just don't even think you need to do? And they're always really hesitant to respond because we're the policymakers. We're the ones, they are very reticent to challenge statute. If it's in statute, they need to do it, and that's just their job, and that's their professionalism coming through. So I really think this would provide an additional mechanism kind of outside of the committee structure. And you know, we're not a full-time legislature, so we don't necessarily have time in the interim to do a deep dive like this. And I think this commission just really hits the spot in terms of doing a full-blown scan of these agencies on a periodic basis, putting an outside spotlight on it, and not asking people from the departments to come and testify on the record and with the cameras on and tell us all the things that are broken in their agencies and what doesn't work anymore. So I really like the concept here, and Representative Erdahl and I and others are on this redesign caucus that he chairs, and you know, we're starting to make some progress there. And what if the legislature, all of these things that are happening here, these committee hearings and what Representative Erdahl is chairing in his group, what if we had some really concrete ideas coming to us from this commission every couple of years, meaty topics that would get vetted fully? I think that would be a really valuable contribution to what we're doing in the legislature, not a detraction or distraction. And I actually think it would be a net positive for the agencies and the people working there too. So I don't know if Representative Pepin, you don't need to respond, but just a couple of thoughts as I'm listening to the discussion.
Any closing comments, Representative Pepin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Downey did a great job of kind of wrapping up my thoughts. You know, I think that it's incumbent upon all of us to really look at things differently, because we're in a situation now where we obviously can't continue to run government the way we have in the past. And I think we all need to look for ways to see how we can make things run more efficiently and, you know, remove redundancies and whatnot. And I really think Representative Downey was right when he talked about kind of the outside perspective and outside of the committee process and them really being able to look at things from a different point of view than we have here. And so I just thank you for your consideration for holding this over for your omnibus bill.
Representative Winkler.
I can wait
for Ben. Okay. Thank you, Representative Pepin, for bringing forward this important idea. And I will be representing, yes.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jim Rhodes, Department of Administration.
Yes.
I'm here not about the purpose of the bill, but to call your attention on page 7, subdivision 3, the property and records of our agency or advisory committee section. Department of Administration is mentioned in there, and we know we're great, but we are not sure why we are the person that would, or the agency that would handle some of this stuff. And I talked to the author beforehand, and we would like just to let everybody know that we'll kind of work on some language together to perhaps fix or tweak it, if you would, to make some kind of a change. We're not quite sure. Record management program we have, but archives is a different issue with a whole different ballgame in there. So we just want to call it to everybody's attention.
Well, thank you, Mr. Rhodes, for pointing that out to us. Representative Pepin, do you have any response to that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Rhodes is right, and we can work on that. I think that was just a decision that we worked with staff on. We weren't quite sure where that function would be, but certainly we would correct that and figure out what the proper spot for that function would be.
Okay, thank you. I'm laying this bill over for possible inclusion in the omnibus state government finance bill. Thank you, Representative Pepin.
Thank you.
Next bill is House File 2, Representative Banyan. Welcome, Representative Banyan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee members, for hearing my bill today. I'm going to first make motion to you that House File 2 be passed by this committee and be re-referred to the Committee of Ways and Means.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Members, this bill has been discussed quite a bit. This bill has three parts to it. The first part of this bill deals with zero-based budgeting. and with the implications of zero-based budgeting in terms of forecasts and the forecasting of budgets. And I'll spend most of my time talking about those. You've already heard Representative Pepin speak to House File 173 and the virtues of sunset commissions, and I will try to save time for your questions by not spending too much time on that, although I'll address a question that was brought up by members here in terms of the membership of a sunset commission and why I've taken that in a different direction than Representative Pepin has.
Representative Banyan, yes, perhaps you have a couple of amendments.
Ah, bless your heart. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We should take care of
those. I should probably get those out of the way. Thank you. You have an amendment. You have actually two amendments there. One in your folders is marked H0002A2. And I'm going to move the inclusion of that into the bill. And then there is a separate sheet dated. It does not have a amendment number, but is simply dated 2/7/2011, 2:17 p.m. And that does simply set an initial appointment date. I would ask a motion to include both of those as author amendments to the bill.
Okay, we'll do one at a time.
Okay.
Representative Banyan is moving the A2 amendment. Would you just briefly explain that amendment, and then we'll vote on it?
The purpose of this amendment was to clarify something that I think wasn't properly clarified when we were before the Government Operations Committee. And after testimony and passage, Mr. Shepard and I spoke about how this would work. My vision is that we have a four-year periodic review of basically the entire budget. And so my vision was that half of the agencies and departments would move forward in the one biennium and the other would move in the other half. And then they would move back and forth through each cycle, so that every time you're doing half. The way it was originally written, after the phase-in, everybody was on zero-based budgeting every 2 years. That was not my intention, and this particular amendment will clarify that for you in the bill. So I would ask you to vote for the A2 amendment. That was, in fact, the author's intention.
All in favor of the A2 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The A2 amendment is adopted. Then,
thank you.
You want to move the what's labeled as MSHRD amendment?
Yep. The MSHRD page just includes a new section, section 22, to provide for initial appointment to the Sunset Commission to happen on September 1 of 2011, so that they can get to work for the following year.
All in favor of the HRD amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. That amendment is adopted. So now we have House File 2 as amended, as the author would like it to be.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for a little hand-holding there along the way. Appreciate it very much. Let me return now to my remarks about the bill. In essence, the philosophy that you heard both in Representative Pepin's testimony and what you're hearing today is that all parts of government should be subjected to periodic review. I think that's an agreement that I hear that's in fact bipartisan. The Sunset Commission that you heard about provides for periodic review of agencies and of departments, and provides, therefore, for us to periodically think about, are we really organizing the government in the most effective way possible to deliver the services that we want to deliver in an efficient manner? Zero-based budgeting ties to that, and that's why these are together, in that it provides for a periodic review of a different sort. It provides for a periodic review of the elements of our expenditures. Currently, when we do a budget, we in essence take an amount that we had last time, and we take what current law says and project it forward to say that's what we're going to spend next time. I don't do a budget that way. Businesses don't do a budget that way. I don't know households that do budgets that way. Most of us, when we write a budget, take the revenue we have coming in, and we decide what's the most effective way to spend that revenue. That, in fact, is what House File 2 asks, is that every department and agency, within a four-year cycle, review the spending they have and provide three alternative levels of spending. And this particular bill does that by requiring those three levels and asking for bits of information which are listed in the bill. And so I invite you particularly to look at Section 2 of the bill as it is on page 3, beginning at line 18, to go through what is asked of each agency and department as it goes through the zero-based process. And what it does is first ask for a description of the activity. What is it that you are doing? It asks for where in our statutes in those myriad books that sit behind the chair up there is the authority by which you spend that money, and for each activity three alternative funding levels down on page 3.33 line 33 of page 3, where we're asked for three alternative funding levels and the priorities which would be met by spending at that level. And then it asks for measures of cost efficiency. This is all that it asks for. It asks everyone from time to time to take a look at what are we spending, why are we spending it. Laws change here in a variety of ways, and as they change, some spending that we do no longer may be needed. It may be superseded by something else. The authority by which it was being done may have, in fact, been removed by this legislature. So we are asking from time to time that we go back and look at it. And our proposal, my proposal here, is for a four-year cycle by which we do that. So every other biennium, each line of the budget will be looked at and reviewed and placed in terms of priority. The way this works in practice, and this is a point that I repeatedly make about zero-based budgeting, is that it encourages the filtering up of information. In effect, what zero-based budgeting does is it goes down to that mid-level manager that has local knowledge about the supply budget of a department someplace out, say, in St. Cloud, in my city, and asks, hey, is there a way that we could deliver the same products we did before can we work with a smaller supply budget? Can we work with hiring less temporary help in the summer? Can we reorganize in some way? To me, a lot of the budget process that we have is very much a top-down approach to budgeting. And I think that's encouraged by that incremental budgeting process that we currently use. What the goal of zero-based budgeting is, members, is to encourage the filtering up of information of that person that knows, hey, we don't really need that copier over there, or hey, that student worker we've been using, we don't really need either. It will encourage that information to filter up through the process. And that, I believe, is what's going to provide you for some cost control and, indeed, a good bit of savings. And that, in fact, is, of course, the motivation, as not all of us will say, about zero-based budget. So three levels, and it asks for basically four bits of information about about each of those lines that is relatively new. Now, let me turn to another part of this, which I'm sure will draw some questions, which is, what does zero-based budgeting mean in terms of our ability to forecast expenditures? In fact, if there is if you say that every 4 years the budget is required to go through a complete review, you cannot assume past the four-year window that you know what the expenditures of that agency or department will be. If you cannot do that, then you cannot therefore include in a statement of a forecast an expenditure level beyond the current biennium, because at any point in time, half of the budget is starting from a zero base. For this reason, the bill includes language which says that in the preparation of the forecast, MMB will forecast spending for the current biennium and can include a forecast for what will happen if a budget that's proposed before the legislature will pass. But it will not be able to really handle projecting what we euphemistically call the tails of forecasting. So, of the expenditure forecast. It will be able to continue to forecast revenues. So we will have a statement of revenues. We'll know the resources that are before us based on current tax law. But we will not have made a pre-commitment to spending a certain level. That pre-commitment is, in fact, what's being addressed by zero-based budgeting. And so that takes care of the first two parts. Let me make sure we have time, plenty of time for questions. Just briefly address a question that was asked during the Pepin testimony about the difference in the composition of the two sunset commissions. Representative Pepin has laid out for you basically what a sunset commission does and the operation. There is not much difference in the actual operation of the sunset commission proposed by House File 173 and by House File 2. What is different is that the membership of the board of the Sunset Advisory Commission in House File 2 consists largely of members of the legislature. Five members from the House, five members from the Senate. No more than three from the majority in either chamber. Plus, each chamber will get to choose one citizen member. The reason for that, I believe, is because we need the proposals of the Sunset Commission to have the buy-in that, in fact, these are the proper set of recommendations, and have a legislator champion that through the process. Carry the bill, testify before you why these recommendations of the Sunset Commission should, in fact, be adopted by the legislature. As I was listening to the conversation between, say, Representative Murphy or Representative Gauthier and Representative Pepin, it occurs to me there's another reason, too, which is simply there's a lot of information that's informal that sits on this body, sits within this body, within this legislature. There are things which some commissions do which each of us have a feel for. Throwing that information away, I think, is in fact a bit problematic. And you have to weigh that against the very real cost, which has been pointed out by Representative Pepin and others, that you might have ownership for that commission, you might want to get a little too defensive about it. As I look at the balance between those, between using the information and the fact that some legislators might have a pet commission, I come down on the side of wanting the information that's inside those legislators' heads. Okay, you'll have to make the decision which way you want to go with that. But I believe that information is very valuable, and I would not want to have it set aside in the interest of having a commission that somehow has some level of remove and greater level of independence from the councils and agencies that it's supposed to judge. With that, I will end my opening remarks and invite your questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Banyan, I have a question. Do you have, has the Green Acres tax law changes, have they caused any consternation in your legislative district? Or is it an issue you've been aware of or dealt with?
Representative Banyan.
Yes, in fact, they have. There's been something that we've talked about. We had a couple meetings about it. They provide their relative Haven Township. Representative Winkler is a part of my House district, and there are issues surrounding Green Acres in that area.
Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, Representative Banyan, what you might not know is that the changes that were made to the Green Acres program, the significant ones that have caused so much heartburn for so many people, came at the suggestion of the legislative auditor, who reviewed the Green Acres program, reviewed the original intent and purpose behind it, and realized and pointed out that the program had strayed significantly from its original intended purpose. The changes that were made in law in, I think, 2009, were a direct result of an implementation of an independent oversight commission's work looking at an important and program area in Minnesota and a significant expenditure. The point I'm trying to make is the challenge that we face in changing things is not coming up with ideas. The challenge is having the political will in the legislature to actually follow through on those changes and make them stick. And so I'm concerned that we create a body like a Sunset Commission that will make a lot of nice recommendations, and as soon as they come over to the legislature, if there's some group that finds them to be popular and worthwhile, and there will be a group for every single change they recommend, it will become problematic to actually implement that. So, and that brings me to the larger point of why, why not include an appropriation? Representative Pepin's bill had $100,000. Your bill for the Sunset Commission doesn't have an appropriation at all. And to me, that just suggests that we're not ready at the legislature to do the difficult choices sometimes to follow through on policy recommendations that come to us, or to spend a little bit of money in order to make government work better.
Representative Banyan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Winkler, 2 points to your question, and I'll make this a little bit 30,000 feet and not dive into the Green Acres question. Membership matters. And the fact that this Sunset Commission that I'm proposing has 5 members from each chamber means that when the legislature meets, when the proposals from the commission reach the floor, there are 5 people standing on the floor of the legislature that have already debated it and know that issue well. When you have independent commissions, unfortunately, the legislative auditor doesn't get a chance to speak on the floor of the House. Might not be a terrible idea from time to time, but the auditor does not get that opportunity. The members of the Sunset Commission will be able to speak about the proposals they have before them because they will have been on the commission and on the floor. That is, in fact, the motivation for that. Let me turn to your second part of your question, I think, Representative Winkler, which is the appropriation question. And just say that we're not sure. At the time I was writing this, I didn't have a number to put on how much would this cost. I believe we have some information about that forthcoming. I'm still discussing with them exactly to be sure that I understand what those cost measures are, what those costs are, and if an appropriation on the bill would be helpful to that, I'd be certainly willing to look at that. Of course, this bill is being I'm asking the bill be referred back to Ways and Means, and Ways and Means, of course, are the folks that have the checkbook. So if they want it, I assume they have a way to pay for it.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Banyan, I mean, as the Finance Committee with jurisdiction over this particular area, the financial implications and decisions should be reviewed here before it goes to Ways and Means. I guess what I'd like to first of all, realize that the auditor has a commission of legislators that oversees their work and reviews all their findings.
Of course,
which is not the same thing as being involved in making recommendations. But there is legislative involvement, and you might want to look at the long chain of recommendations from the legislative auditor for policy changes, recommendations, improvements to programs, agencies, et cetera, that just get ignored because they're not all that interesting. I would submit that the challenge is, it's the same as zero-based budgeting. There's nothing here that we couldn't do. We don't need a bill. We don't need a commission to do these things. The challenge is that it's hard. It's really hard to actually make it stick and to make all of our colleagues agree that we should be cutting these things. I think we're seeing already in the budget-cutting bill that was passed that making cuts are hard. The conference committee went in with the House bill that cut $200 million from state agencies to cut $200 million. The Senate went in with $125 million, and the compromise was to cut $100 million. They're hard things to do, and creating the commissions doesn't make it easier.
Representative Banyan.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Winkler, in writing bills, this engages a lot of psychology as well as economics, and as well as law. You have to change incentives somehow. And what I like about both House File 173 and House File 2 is that it does change the incentives. The problem with the Office of the Legislative Auditor is the default is no change unless you take a positive action to make change. The case with the Sunset Commissions is that there's a change that's prescribed unless you act to stop it. And that makes that creates a very different set of incentives than what we currently have. And I think those incentives are better. I think they encourage more review. When you're faced with the possibility that your commission or agency might blink off in 2 years, you will be very serious about how you do a review of your agency. And I think that incentive is what's the value of passing a legislation like this. Let's not forget, over 50 agencies and commissions have been either reorganized or allowed to expire under the Texas Advisory Sunset Advisory Commission since 1977. It has existed for over 30 years, and it has resulted in real change. I think those are good changes by and large. One could argue otherwise. But it certainly has led to change. And that change in the incentive structure, I think, is a key difference between using the Office of the Legislative Auditor, who presents very fine reports that we then say, hey, thank you very much, and put in the DSRR, and having the incentive of saying, we better act on this, or something we don't want to have happen will happen.
If there aren't any further questions from the committee, is there anyone in the audience who wishes to speak either in favor or in opposition to this bill? Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to be heard either for or against this bill? Seeing none, no further discussion with the committee.
Chair?
Yes.
Is the motion to refer this to Ways and Means?
The motion that Representative Banyan made was to recommend that bill, House File 2, as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to request a roll call.
Roll call has been requested.
Anderson.
Yes.
Banyan.
Yes.
Benson.
Yes.
Downey.
Yes.
Gauthier.
No.
Green. Gunther.
Yes.
Hayden.
No.
Kahn. Lanny.
Yes.
Leidiger.
Yes.
Lilly.
No.
Lohmer.
Yes.
McElpatrick.
Yes.
Murphy.
No.
Murray.
Yes.
Simon.
No.
Slaughter.
No.
Stensrud.
Yes.
Erdahl.
Yes.
Winkler.
No.
There being 12 yeses and 7 noes, the bill is passed and re-referred to Ways and Means.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Banyan. Tomorrow we have the workforce report that we've been anxious to have on our agenda, and the State Arts Board and the Historical Society. And members, if you would be checking your calendars as to whether or not either March 1st or March 8th might be an opportunity for us to tour the History Center. This would be an evening, early evening event. We would like to determine when we meet tomorrow whether or not we wish to do that as a committee. With that, and then again on Thursday, we have Representative Downey's bill, House File 4. Mm-hmm. Meeting adjourned.